Hi everyone, I'm Brittany, anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here today and to be abstinent. Thank you, God. I'm very nervous. I don't know why, because as I said, this is my family. I got abstinent, like truly abstinent in this meeting. So I'm just going to quickly ask God, my higher power, to remove my fear and direct my attention to what God would have me be. Amen. What would God have me be is grateful. That's number one. This is my fifth year being able to be abstinent from compulsive overeating, anorexia, and bulimia, and be able to spend Christmas with my family. And that is a freaking miracle. It is a freaking miracle because I could not get this. I could not get a day. I am a chronic, really, I'm compulsive overeater, anorexic, bulimic, but I am a chronic bulimic. I'm left to my own devices. That's what I'm doing all day long instead of being with family. That's how I spent most Christmases, is locked away in my bedroom, stuffing my face, going back out, trying to be there, stealing food, coming back in, hoarding bags, of food under my bed, and then throwing up. I mean, to give you a picture of what it looked like, and clogging toilets, and then having to get trash bags and have the throw up in the trash bag and hide it under my bed. I mean, the insanity, that's the reality. And that's not my reality today. And, I was just downstairs. This is my last day of with staying with them, and I said, "I'm," they started making something that it's none of my business to eat anymore. But it was one of my favorite things that I used to eat. And my first thought was, "How dare they make that?" on my last day here. And then my second thought, because today I have the power of pause. I didn't say anything. Was, "All right, it's not my business, and I'm going to go be of service." And I told them I was coming to a meeting and share my story, and my mom said, "Well, what do you talk about?" And I said, it just came out of my mouth. I didn't even think it. I said, God's been so good to me. How God has been so good to me. I don't know why that came out of my mouth, but that is the truth today. It's been a rough year, but the God of my understanding, or lack of understanding, because I don't understand what even I can't even tell you what my higher power is. I just know it's there's something that, by the grace of God, I'm abstinent today, and God has been good to me, because I should be dead. I should be dead where this disease has taken me. And normally I always start with like what it used to be like, but I guess for some reason, because I'm here in this bedroom, like I had my last binge and purge right there in that corner, 5.5 years ago. And the quote that comes to mind is that line in the Big Book, an alcoholic or a compulsive overeater in his cups is an unlovely creature. That's what I was. That's putting it nicely. It was a very ugly sight, what happened that day. And the only thing that happened that day, other than the other day, was I'd come out of treatment, after being there for probably the fifth time. I had a broken ankle because I wanted to roller skate. I wanted to exercise in treatment, even though they told me not to. I'd gotten kicked out, so I was back here. It was the middle of a pandemic. I had no job anymore, because I had to leave because of this disease. I had no money. I had nowhere to live, and I was back living with my parents and couldn't walk. And yet, all I could do was stuff my face. Eat, and throw up. And it was just that, did that on repeat. And something happened that day in that corner where I literally had the head to heart experience. I always talk about, step one is like taking that first step is not just admitting, but accepting in my heart, that I'm sick. I'm sick. And something happened that day, right? There's no words to explain it other than I took that first step. And the next day, I all of a sudden followed this food plan that I had been given almost over 10 years ago, the first time I went into treatment. And yet, like, I could not follow that food plan. Why? Because I am sick. Because I'm a chronic anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater. And, when I first came into the rooms 10 years ago, I met my sponsor, who's in this room today, and she's still my sponsor. It was over 10 years ago. I like to say 10 years ago. I forget I'm 34. Oh my God. Okay, so I'm 34. I came in when I was 21. I went to treatment. I looked good. I had not gotten to, I mean, I thought I had a bottom that, I'm in treatment. That was like a taboo thing. I come from Bermuda, small island. There's no treatment centers. There was no recovery meetings back then, 12-step groups at all, at the time. And so it was, I was like, oh, it was something big for me to come into treatment and go to a foreign country. And anyways, I met my sponsor in the rooms because, thank you, God, it was a God thing that it happened to be a 12-step recovery treatment center, and we had to go to meetings every night, and we went to an OA meeting every single night, and I saw the steps on the wall, and I had no idea what that meant. I just thought that I needed to learn how to stop eating the way I was eating, binging, and but still be able to control my weight, and then go back to life, and maybe go back to grad school, because the night before treatment, I applied to grad school. Like that's where I was at, at that point. I was ready to like for the next chapter before even really looking at the reality of what was going on. And I tell the story a lot, but it's part of my story. It's so true. I met my sponsor in the rooms one of the first nights that I went to a meeting, and I looked, I mean, I had clothes picked out for treatment every single day to look cute, like in a treatment center for an eating disorder, and I have a face full of makeup, and I went up to her because to me she was glowing. Now I see that it's not just the outward beauty, it's like she was glowing from the inside because she had God in her life, because she had recovery. I didn't get that then, but something about her stood out, and I went up to her and well, she approached me. I just felt like she approached me, but I remember wanting to talk to her, and she asked me how I was doing, and I said, "I'm good. I'm good. I'm like a week following my food plan." And she's like, "You're good." I was like, "Yeah, I'm really good." She said, "You're full of shit." And I was like, "What?" And she's like, "You're good. You're in treatment center for a week, and you're good." And I'm like, "Yeah." And the next week, I'm going to go to an audition and get into grad school and go back, And wow, it's taken more than 10 years, but it's taken 13, I guess, for me to understand what that meant. I was full of shit. I had no clue, first of all, how sick I really was. I had no clue that I had a progressive disease that actually got worse. And it got worse after treatment. They say you want to hit your bottom, go to meetings, and that's what happened. It's like once I found out like the reality, it just got worse. And I've had to get real in this program. I've had to grow up. And that's what's been the last, I guess, 10 plus years. I have 5.5 years of abstinence, but I struggled for a really long time. At some point, I don't know when, at some point as a little girl, I crossed that line of insanity with the food, and there was no turning back. And I don't know why or when. And I have a lot of childhood stories that I could say, well, maybe that's why. And you know what? Today, it doesn't matter. Today, I know my truth. I have a disease of perception and a disease that lies to me. The front of my big book says, my disease will not let me, I wrote, my disease will not let me see the truth about myself. But God, the steps of my sponsor will help me see it. And from a very, very young age, I've had a mind that's told me you're ugly, you're fat, and you don't really belong anywhere. And if you somehow make this look okay, then you'll be okay. And so that's what I did. I spent so many years trying to change my outward appearance. so many years, and not being real. And I really thought, like, if I can control my weight, and because then I'll be okay. But really, my biggest fear, and I still don't like saying it today, but my biggest fear has always been, like, I don't want to get fat. I don't want to get fat. I don't want to get fat.
10 minutes
And
per day.
thank you. And I went to any lengths. I went to any lengths. And as I said, at some point, I crossed that line of insanity where, like, there was no turning back. And once I discovered bulimia and the binging and purging, it got out of hand where I wasn't in control anymore. I became a slave to it. So when I came into the rooms for the first time in 2014, and I met my sponsor and I was in treatment for 6 months, I left and I did everything that they told me not to do, except I stayed in contact with my sponsor. I left the country, I went to grad school, I went back to Bermuda, during interns when they told me not to. I got a boyfriend that year. But I never stopped going to meetings and I kept in contact with her. And I believe that that saved my life. Because I believe had I not, I'd be dead for sure. So I will always be grateful for that treatment center for pointing me to the rooms. I kept going back to I kept going to meetings, and I kept in contact with her. I went off. I got worse. This disease has taken me to places. Where, first of all, even saying the word disease, I didn't think I had a problem. I'd binge and purge, and I'd call her and I'd say, I binged and purged again. She'd say, yeah, you did. Well, I can't stop. Of course you can't. You're sick. You've got a disease. And I didn't understand what that meant. And I would hear about this mental obsession, the physical allergy, and I did not understand like what that meant. And I didn't understand it until 2020 when I had that head-to-heart experience where it was like, I can't stay stopped. I can't stop myself from doing this. And so much of it for me was about control and trying to control my weight. And I didn't really want to get honest about that because when they give me the food plan for the first time in 2014, a way of eating that was going to be, that was going to help me, I still wanted to do it my way. I couldn't fully surrender to it. And I couldn't actually get honest about fully not surrendering to it. A lot of shame with this disease. I've had times where, so I never stopped going back to meetings, but I would leave and I would still binge and purge. And then I'd go through periods of trying not to throw up, but then the anorexia would take over. And I never thought I would go down that route. And I did. I did. And it's scary. It's a very, very, very scary place. Where I look in the mirror and I see fat and really, I'm just full. I'm just old bones. I mean, I can. It's this disease lies is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and it's manifested itself in all ways for me. In the laxatives, overexercising. But at the end of the day, if I was to pick up the food right now, my head would then be in the toilet. And I had think, and then I tried to stop. I went to therapy. I tried, many treatment centers, as I said. I had, got nearly arrested, thrown out of stores for stealing food, which I said I would never do. I was never going to steal food, but it got to the place where I did. I clogged toilets, and then I left, and I didn't care that I clogged toilets of public places. I, 3 a.m. if I had to eat, I would go to that corner store and I would eat, and didn't matter if it was snowing, raining, night or day. If I need the food, I'm gonna get the food, and then I'm gonna find a way to get rid of it. And I had an incident once. I was living in London, and I swallowed a spoon, and I prayed to God. I made a bargain with God that I didn't understand that, like, if this comes out, I will never do this again. And I meant it. I meant it. Oh my God, I meant it. And it came out. It came out. I should have died that day. It was a real spoon, and it came out, and that was a miracle. And less than an hour later, I was back at the corner store getting my food and crying my eyes out. How is this, how am I doing this? How am I doing this? How And that's what happened. That was the reality. And I continued to struggle and struggle and struggle. And something happened that day in 2020, as I said, flash forward. I had gone to treatment again because now I was going to solve my childhood, trauma. Because if I solved that, then I'll be okay. Like, it's all about the body. Like, that's why I've got body distortion because of my trauma. And, I did a lot of work and I s still came out. And first thing I did was eat, because I wasn't getting that, like, no human power. It's my sponsor's bottom of page 25. It's her favorite paragraph and it's become mine. But yeah, I got to that place where there was no middle of the road solution. No human power. If you would, I love it. So I'm just gonna look at it quickly. From if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other to accept spiritual help. This we did because we honestly wanted to and were willing to make the effort. And I had gotten to that point of passing the region from which no human power. I had been exorcised by someone that was pretty holy up in, in the religious kind of realm. I had, done all t sorts of things. No human power. And something happened that day. And I believe I just took that first step. And I believe I have to take that first step every day. And by the way, 2 hours before, I had been on this 4 p.m. meeting. And there was about 10 people only on this meeting. And I didn't want to do it in person. I had done in-person meetings for all this time. I did not want to do a Zoom meeting. My sponsor said, just please come. And earlier that day, I said, I want to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to kill myself. I was suicidal. This is where this takes me. She said, just come to this. I found this Zoom meeting. It's every day. It's at 4 p.m. It's a big book meeting. Just come. You don't need to have your camera on. Just come. And I came and I sat here with about 10 other people before it was on the virtual region. And I binged my brains out, but I heard something. And even though I didn't necessarily get, stop eating like right away, I heard something that kept me continuing to go on. Not heal myself. I'm not alone anymore. And that's what this program gives me is I'm not alone. I have a place where I can go and belong. And I never have to fight this disease anymore. I never have to fight it, but I never have to do recovery alone. It's not been easy. I guess I just want to kind of, I'm looking at this ring I'm playing with. It's my Nornie's ring. This year has been a really hard year. I've for the first time had to deal with grief in recovery, like true grief, and lost someone. I lost two people that were dear to me, but one really important person who was special to me. And you know what? I was able to show up and go to that funeral and be there for my dad and not be stuffing my face and sit through the pain. And I probably was the one that sobbed the most. It was horrific. I felt like my heart was coming out of my chest. But I got through it. And then I got to call someone on the way home and talk to someone. And I did that again. And then I had to go back a month later to another funeral for a friend. And I got through that because I had people in this room that stayed on the phone with me that got me through. I've been able to do many things in recovery because I'm not alone. So this has been not my favorite year. I also got my heart broke. I mean, I can make a list and. And so, why did those words, God's been so good to me, come out of my mouth? Well, they came out because I should be dead, because I have been saved by the grace of God. I don't need to understand what that is. I just need to know that it's not me. There's a power in these rooms. This meeting in particular is very special to me.
One minute, Britt.
Thank you. I know that I got to keep doing the work. I'll kind of say, Christmas day with my family, the lunch didn't really work out, the timing. So I ended up not being able to eat with them at the right at the time that they ate. And that was okay. I, you know what, I held their my sister's dog, and I was just engaged in conversations, and I could be present. And after that, my uncle said to me, you know, do you want a family? Like, if you're gonna have a family one day, you know, or get married or whatever, like, you're gonna have to sacrifice everything you do, right? Like, and I was like, you mean my food? He's like, well, everything you do, your phone calls with your sponsor, you go on phone calls a lot, or, you know, the food, meetings. And I looked at him and I said, no, I will never sacrifice. This is my life. I have a life today. And I'm not maybe in a place where I want to be job wise, relationship wise, you know, there's all these things that are unknown. And I'm like, okay, you know, what's next? But you know what? This is the most peace I've ever felt in my recovery. Because right now, the food that they're making down there that I would have been stuffing my face at is not calling to me. I don't want it. I'll start wrapping up, and I will never, this is, I have a life today because of recovery. So if you're on this meeting right now, if you're off camera, if you're binging, if you're purging, if you can't stop, just keep coming back. You're not alone. There's so much hope here. There's a life beyond your wildest dreams. Just might not look like what you thought, but to not have my head in a toilet today or be stuffing my face, God's been so good to me. So thank you.